We have before us this striking and challenging gospel passage, this teaching of Jesus about the cost of discipleship. And if you were to summarize it, basically Jesus is saying that if you want to be my disciple, you must be willing to give up everything, to give it all up, right? The cost of discipleship. But so God's ways are not our ways, right? It's very interesting when we're reading through this passage, it seems that Jesus is employing a method that we typically do when we're speaking. We come out real strong, trying to make a point, and then we notice people's reaction and we start to draw it back a little bit. Okay, maybe I don't want to be that strong in what I'm saying. So Jesus starts by saying, unless you hate your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, and your own life, you cannot be my disciple, right? Unless you love God above all of these things, and if they become an obstacle in your relationship to him, you must be willing to let go of them. Unless you're willing to do that, you cannot be my disciple. You imagine the huge crowd. They're hearing this for the first time, right? We've heard this over and over. They would be disgusted by this teaching, or at least very perplexed. Their faces would show it. And so, our human way would be to reel it back. And one could read this passage saying that, okay, the examples Jesus gives are reeling it back a little bit. Well, maybe I don't mean to be that extreme. So he gives the example of this person who's going to build the tower. And if they don't have all of the resources ready at that moment, well, they shouldn't begin. So, okay, maybe we compromise. Or this king should be praised, perhaps, for noticing that he doesn't have the power to win in this battle against a force that's much larger than his. So he's going to send peace terms. So someone could read this and say, okay, Jesus is making it less extreme. He's okay with us deciding, well, I don't have what it takes to do that, so what if I do something less? Will you be happy with me then? Okay. But please note, friends, God's ways are not our ways. That's not, I believe, what Jesus' intention is for giving those two examples. For in fact, he concludes by saying, and so any of you who does not renounce all cannot be my disciple. So that's confusing then. What is the purpose of these two examples? Well, perhaps he's using those as counterexamples. These aren't two people that he's praising. These are two people that he's saying, this is not what it means to be my disciple. Okay, I know that might be a strange interpretation, but think of it for a minute here. The world would tell us, yeah, it's laudable if you don't have all of the resources built up. Don't begin the project because you're afraid of being ridiculed by those who would tell you that you haven't completed it. But Jesus is saying, perhaps, that regardless of what you have, I want you to give all. Jesus himself came to build the kingdom of God on earth. And what did he have? What resources did he enter into this project with? Really nothing. But he was willing to give all, to be the foundation upon which this kingdom would be built. And take the example of Mother Teresa. She had already done in her life what most of us would call something pretty extreme. She was a religious sister. She devoted her life to prayer. She was a teacher in her religious order. But she felt the Lord calling her to something more, to something different, to a deeper union with him, a deeper gift of herself. And literally, she left everything and went on the streets of Calcutta with nothing to begin to care for the poorest of the poor. Anyone looking at her would have said, you have none of the resources that you need to accomplish this mission of helping anyone. how can you, who have nothing, help someone else, right? But that is the radical nature of her discipleship, that having none of the resources, she follows the call of God nonetheless, trusting that he will be the one to provide, because God's ways are not our ways. God's wisdom is not the human wisdom. Or take the example of that king who makes peace because he knows he can't win the battle. Well, Jesus is the King of Kings, and he came to the earth in our human nature and condition, totally weak before the powers of this world. There was no way that he would be able to overcome the powers of darkness. And in the normal sense, like winning power, winning authority, right? They were all set against him, the religious leaders, the leaders of his day. And of course, from an earthly perspective, they defeated him. They stomped him out. They crucified him. But he was, instead of making peace with them, he was willing to give all, because he knew that it was through that self-gift that the Father would bring about the true and definitive victory. So we take an example of the saints. Perhaps a few weeks ago you heard Father Peter tell the story of Saint Maximilian Kolbe. He, just a man, a priest of God, how could he ever defeat the power of the Nazi regime and the military machine that they had constructed? There's no way in an earthly sense that he could. But he, being a follower of Jesus, knowing that he would be defeated, continued to speak out for the truth. And when he was imprisoned in Auschwitz, he was willing to give all, to give his own life. He volunteered to take the place of a prisoner who had been selected to be executed. He was killed by the Nazis. But who won the victory? Right? Saint Maximilian Kolbe, the one who is in glory forever. See, God's ways are not our ways. God's wisdom is not human wisdom. So perhaps Jesus is giving these examples, say, this is what's praised in the world, but if you wish to be my disciple, that's not how it's going to be. You must be willing to give it all. Now, who in the world could demand such a thing, right? If you want to be my follower, you just go online and you click a button, you know? I'm your follower, okay? That's the way we are right now. There's no commitment, right? There's nothing involved. But if we want to follow Jesus, we have to be willing to give everything if he asks for it. Who could possibly demand this? Only God could. And only, I would say, one who is willing to endure the very same things that he's asking of us. Jesus, in fact, is God. Jesus, in fact, was willing to endure and did endure the loss of all, endure the mockery of men, endure his own death and crucifixion. So, the cost of discipleship. So we think about our own lives and the things that tempt us, the things that we oftentimes put before the Lord, the esteem of others, right? Seeking their praise rather than doing what God asks. Amassing our possessions, you know, that attitude that, you know, once we get the house paid off or once we get the kids off to college or once we get our retirement all set, then I'll start being generous to those in need, right? We're amassing those possessions. Or the use of our time, the same thing, you know, we see it as our time. And as, you know, as soon as we get through this stage of life, or as soon as things settle down at work, as soon as the football season's over, that's when I'll devote myself to prayer. Or that's when maybe I'll check out one of those small groups that happen at Sacred Heart. Or that's when I'll get back to Sunday Mass, right? These are the temptations of everyday life, right? We oftentimes put something before the Lord. And Jesus is inviting us to live a different way. And we might look at our lives and in the logic of our human nature and say, well, I'm doing a lot better than that guy next door, you know? So, you know, we can compromise a little bit, can't we? But the Lord is inviting a total gift of our hearts. And he promises to satisfy them if we give that gift. I want to leave you with a very concrete challenge. Very concrete. I would like to invite each and every person here to renounce 1 hour of productive work or 1 hour of sleep in order to come after we dedicate our chapel to spend an hour with Jesus, to waste an hour with the one who wants to be your best friend, okay? It's not productive work in the worldly sense, right? You could come in the middle of the night and sacrifice an hour of sleep, but Jesus is there. After we dedicate the chapel on the 22nd, we'll have adoration throughout the week, day and night. And we need people to be there to keep watch with the Lord, to be guardians of his blessed sacrament. So at the end of your pews, there's little cards about how to sign up. So find an hour or two or three. Renounce that hour in the worldly sense so that you can place yourself in front of Jesus, the source of all that is good, the source of true wisdom. I guarantee that you will not regret this. It's a beautiful gift to yourself and a gift of love to our Savior and Lord.